So I'm going to go to him first, and then maybe we'll go to Brother Lee, if that's okay. Sorry, over here. Not wrong, Sam. Sorry, Killens.
Brian.
I called you by your son is Sam, isn't he? Excuse me, Brother Brian. Excuse me. Boy, sorry.
What is a red herring?
Oh, a red herring? Yes. Okay. So that is something, that's an expression, for, and I'm not even sure where it came from originally, okay? But it's one of these expressions of somebody raising an issue that isn't a real issue. It's just a complaint they make to dismiss something. Like they want to distract people and say, this is a real problem here, when it's not a real problem and they don't even care about that. Sort of like when you talk to somebody about the gospel and they say, well, what about the Aborigines who've never heard? Now, they don't care 2 cents about the Aborigines, okay? They haven't lost 1 minute's sleep over them probably ever in their life. But you witness to them, suddenly they care about the Aborigines out in the outback somewhere. So, yeah. Yeah, but so is that okay? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's good. Yep. That's right.
Keith asked me to share a little bit on Acts 13:48, where we have men who are ordained, according to the King James Version, ordained to eternal life. And we have in the Greek what's called a middle passive form. The Greek didn't have, in that here, didn't have a separate middle form and a separate passive form. So when you come to the middle passive, you have to decide, based on the context and the nature of the case, whether this is middle or reflexive, where you're working on yourself, or if it's passive and someone's working on you. So The question is this God ordained them to eternal life in a Calvinistic sense, or is it these men set themselves to eternal life?
Verse 48
of chapter. Acts 13:48. And so just start with the spirit of the passage, I think, is similar to like 2 Chronicles 30:18 and 19. The good Lord pardon everyone that prepares his heart to seek God. Ezra 7:10. Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of God. In 1 Chronicles 22:19, now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Now I got a few examples here from Scripture on how this is similarly used. We have a similar use of the verb tasso in Acts, in 1 Corinthians 16:15. Where we have the verb used with the reflexive pronoun, and we read that they addicted themselves unto the ministry. So the active verb with the reflexive pronoun is the exact same force as the middle force. So you could paraphrase Acts 13:48 here, these men addicted themselves unto eternal life, therefore they believed. And I also found a very interesting usage recently in Josephus, on the Jewish War, in Josephus' Jewish War 7:1, where the general wanted the names of those men who had acted valiantly in battle to have their names read, an honorarium. Well, what's translated, who did valiantly in battle, is actually the exact same verb here, tasso, in the exact same middle passive form. These men set themselves apart or distinguished themselves in battle. And so don't be intimidated by men who want and demand a passive sense in Acts 13:48. It was relatively common in Greek for that exact same form to be used in a middle way.
Please.
Yes. Okay, here's an example. Active force is I hit, just simply I hit. Middle is I hit myself, and passive is I was hit.
Break it down again to say what you're saying is that when it says ordained there, it means it was something on
Okay. All right. So here we have, let's just take the sense of set or ordain. They're very similar. Both are legitimate translations. I set, you can just set something on the table, or I set a principle for my house. That's active. I set myself to do my work. That would be reflexive or middle. And I was set or I was appointed to do something is passive. Did that help, brother?
A little bit. I think what you're trying to say is that it wasn't something God did to them, it was something they did themselves.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely.
Get the mic here, bro. Get the mic.
Track the hounds to save the hare.
Can you repeat that's for the recording, please?
Just as an answer to what a red herring is, yeah. Either herrings or kippers, which are very red fish, red-fleshed fish, were used to put on the trail, on the scent, to get the hounds to go down the wrong track to spare the hare. So at the end of the day, the homeowner could go and get his hare, or the person who was trying to actually get the hare could get his hare and walk off.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. George Ferrier. Thanks.
One thing I like about in Acts 13 is the Lord seemed to reveal this information about setting apart Paul and Barnabas, what they were doing when he did that. So can't remember if you mentioned that, but it says they were ministering to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so they weren't, unfortunately I did hear a speaker a while ago try to suggest that they were meeting together for that purpose. And I don't believe they were. I believe they were just meeting together to worship the Lord, to minister to the Lord. And as they were fasting and ministering to the Lord, the Holy Spirit revealed to them this guidance. And mm-hmm. And I think that's very, very precious, that sometimes when we just want to minister to the Lord, He will minister to us in that kind of way.
Amen. Yeah, Brother Brian. Sorry. I apologize. My older brother's name is Brian, so that's one I should never make an error on. So.
Just very briefly, something I think critical for the young people, all of us to know, but Keith brought it out, and I'm going to read a part of a verse that's found in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 4. It's not necessarily the context, but it's not contrary to the context. 1 Timothy 5:4 says, if any widow have children or nephews, let them first learn first to show piety, godliness at home.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned the fact that transporting someone 5,000 miles away isn't going to make them spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And the validity of this, or the importance of this verse here, 1 Timothy 5:4, show godliness first at home.
Mm-hmm.
Young people, you show godliness first in your home.
That's right.
In your home assembly. In your school.
Amen.
In your neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
God will move you if and when and where He wants to move you. And I think part of what Keith was saying, I would say in this way, it's a whole lot easier to move a car that's got its engine running.
Amen.
Than
that's right.
One that's got a dead battery.
That's right.
Or that isn't even cranked.
Yeah, good.
And so
yeah.
As long as you're, when I say moving, doing those basic things in the home mm-hmm. that God expects of you.
Amen.
Basic things in the local assembly. I want to say this too carefully, that I have a great admiration for those that go overseas and give themselves to the work of the Lord and the hardships they endure. I read again the second time last year T. Ernest Wilson's Angola Beloved.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about a man who walked thousands of miles.
Mm-hmm.
Walked once, I think the longest he ever walked nonstop was like 110 miles.
Mm-hmm.
Walked, you know. And gave him, you know, admiration for that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we got to be careful, because there is a glamorization of that.
Right.
Where people think that they see the supreme service that I can do is to leave here and go there.
No.
No, no, no. The supreme service you can do is serve the Lord right where you're at.
Amen. Amen.
1 Corinthians 7:27.
Yep. And then, if the Lord so sees fit, he may lead you elsewhere.
Amen. Amen. Brother Brian?
In the course of these days, the term mystical was used in a negative sense. Mm-hmm. And it seems that in what we're reading in the book of Acts, that the Holy Spirit was guiding people to do stuff, mm-hmm. Go places.
Sure.
We certainly don't deny the importance of the scriptures as mm-hmm. our basic guidance and giving us principles by which we are supposed to live, but does not the Holy Spirit guide us within those principles as to our mm-hmm. day-to-day or week-to-week or year-to-year actions and what mm-hmm. we ought to be doing?
I suspect that's going to come up when the brother who has Acts 16 takes on the early part of Acts 16. We see that kind of guidance. Yeah. Sorry. But there may be others who want to comment on that further right now, so feel free to.
I want to mention one thing in regard to that. Are you going back to the other thing?
Yeah.
Let me just mention very briefly on that subject.
And this is another statement I want to make during the contribution time. Mark, I really appreciated in his prayer this morning because he touched on something that is on all our hearts, I do believe, and that is as we teach these sessions on a big book like Acts, we're keenly aware we're not getting to everything. Mm-hmm. There's a whole lot more that's there.
Amen.
And you know, so we know that, but yet we trust the Lord that what is given will, number one, help us to see the greatness of the Word of God and how much more there is to get into and get into it. A challenge in that sense. Appetite. Whet the appetite. And there will be things that the Lord will give you to pick up along the way. Now, having said that, it is a big subject, one that interests me very much, Brian, in the book of Acts, the subject of guidance. Mm-hmm. The subject of how they were guided. It will be touched on again and again. Sam was going to address it. I won't detail it, but if you go through there, it's one of the things when you get to interpreting this book, you're going to have to deal with. At one time they were directed this way, another time they weren't, you know, and so on and so on. So I just say that in this book, that's a really big subject.
Amen.
I was just going to give a scripture as to what Larry had said earlier, that the true service of God, the fundamental service of God, is to learn to serve the Lord where you are. And that is 1 Corinthians 7:20. That was the reference. And I'll just read it to you. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was saved.
I did not directly answer it. I said I knew others were going to take it up further in the future, but I then opened it up for others to answer it. So Larry gave. Okay. So, yes, there is obviously specific guidance because the Lord, you know, if we had a written answer to every situation that believers encounter, the whole world could not contain the books, if I can borrow the language of John 21. So obviously the scripture gives principles, and in a given specific situation, I need wisdom from the Lord to know how to operate with what's coming into my path. So James 1, for example, in a context of being persecuted and suffering, says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally and upbraids not. And so we can pray to God for wisdom and seek for God to do wisdom. In Acts 16, we're going to see the Lord apparently impresses on the brothers certain situations, like they try to go here, they can't go there. They try to go somewhere else, that door's also closed. They actually get a vision in the case of Paul of a man telling him to come over to Macedonia and help them. So they go over to Philippi in Macedonia, And they don't meet a man, they meet some women praying by the river. But that's where God's work begins and the establishment of an assembly. So sometimes in the scripture you see God guides by circumstance, where they try to do certain things, but circumstantially they're prevented. So Paul, we know from the epistle to Romans, wants to come to Rome, wants to impart to them some spiritual gift. He says it in Romans chapter 1. How does Paul get to Rome? Acts tells us he gets to Rome courtesy of the Imperial Roman Navy and Army by being arrested and by transporting him there in bonds. So it isn't how he originally planned to get to Rome or how he would have wanted to. And he said he wanted to go to Spain. We don't know if that ever came about, or at least I can't think of a verse that says it came about. But he had certain desires, and sometimes circumstances precluded it. Sometimes the Lord gave him an open door. But obviously the Spirit, as somebody was seeking him, within the confines of the Scripture, the Spirit can speak to us, can show us. Now, this principle applies. He can bring a verse to our minds or bring a story in the Bible that gives us, you know, some kind of pattern that we can extrapolate. Like if we want to know, is it okay for me to go for a higher education? We might be reading Daniel 1 in our devotions, and we suddenly say, hey, Daniel and his three friends were very godly people, and they stood for God in the university. They went to school, and it was okay. And maybe the Lord will use that, whereas it's not God's will for everybody to go to university necessarily. So, you know, we have to seek these. Now, the danger comes in that we're living in an age when people are very subjective. And when it doesn't matter if you're talking about among Christians or among unbelievers, they do things on how they feel and their impulse and so forth. And so we have to be careful that I'm not just making up my mind to do what I want to do, that I'm looking to the Scripture, that I'm bowing to the authorities God has put in my life, because God gives us parents, God gives us some of us spouses, God gives us local assemblies that we're part of, where there's oversight, where there's wise people that can give counsel. And it may not even be oversight, it may be another brother or sister the Lord uses to give us a piece of advice that is useful. But the last sort of supreme court is the Scripture. That if what I think should be done is contrary to the Scripture, well, that's a no-brainer. That's not the Holy Spirit leading. The Holy Spirit isn't going to lead me to leave my wife. The Holy Spirit isn't going to leave me, you know, to go steal $1 million or whatever, even if I'm going to use it to help the Lord's workers like Henry. You know, Brother Larry? Sorry. Thank you, thank you.
Please, okay.
You got it.
Tread on Sam's territory, except to say, let's go back to the passage at hand in Acts 13, just make a couple of observations, always a good thing to do. You notice in Acts 13, it says, in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. So now you've got a plurality of prophets and teachers. You have some of them named, like Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manaen, and so on. Okay? And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, then the Holy Spirit said, who did he say it to? Apparently in this text, verse 2, he didn't say it to Paul and Barnabas. He said it to them, because it said, the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. Now, I'm not saying he didn't say it to Barnabas and Saul, because when people come along and says, the Lord has told me to tell you, I'm always very careful, you know. But he certainly told it to the others. So now you got a plurality. In other words, this wasn't a decision made in a vacuum. Not in this case. It was one that was somehow communicated or at least impressed upon a multitude of different individuals. And when the Holy Spirit said that, they didn't jump and lay hands on them. No. Then they fasted and prayed. So they weighed the decision. When they weighed the decision, then they laid their hands on them. And then they sent them away. And interestingly enough, in verse 4, the confirmation, so being sent forth by the Holy Spirit, which is a confirmation, you see. So all I'm saying is that at least in this part, there was a multitude of people, spiritual men, obviously. The decision was impressed upon them somehow. We're not told how, thankfully, or we'd all try to duplicate it. And then they waited before the Lord and prayed. We're not even told how long. Did they pray a week? A month? Who knows? You know, it could have been a while before they really determined that this thing was definitely of the Lord. And then they obviously had to confer with Paul and Barnabas. Now, when it comes to other situations, Paul and Barnabas didn't need to go pray about whether the Lord wanted them to go around and help the churches that had been established. No sense in praying about that. Didn't need to ask the Lord's guidance about doing that work, because God obviously wanted them to do that.
Yeah, like get up and go to work.
Like get up and go to work. Get up and eat your breakfast. I don't need to ask God to do that. Paul had already been told, yes, and commissioned, you see. Yeah. And so he's doing that which was... Yeah, yeah, there's things that part of it, yes. God would expect him to do that, yeah. Is there ever an instance whereby there's resistance from the local leadership and they still go? Yes, you're going to find Paul doing that. Agabus comes and says, you go to Jerusalem, let me tell you what's going to happen. Paul was determined in his spirit to go. Prophet warned him, don't go to Jerusalem. And Paul's determined to go. You know what Paul did? He went. And he went in a very unique way. Oh, I absolutely am, brother. Yes, I am, yes. And whichever way I tell you, it will be the right way. Yeah. Father, we give you thanks for the food now, the good time we can have enjoying the things of God. There's a lot of deep questions here. We don't have all the answers. But like Keith mentioned, Lord, there's another reason you didn't write it all out for us, because we are to walk in daily dependence looking to you. Not just in a mystical way. We don't have to ask you now whether we should go eat or not. You told us that we need that kind of thing for daily nourishment. But in a sense, Lord, in a very real sense, you've caused us, you want us to be a dependent people. Give us this day our daily bread. Not because we can't go down to Walmart and buy a loaf, but because you want us to recognize that our very source of life comes from you every day. We're dependent. And when it comes to guidance, Lord, oh, we really are dependent then, aren't we? And so you haven't written it all out for us, not every step in that sense. But yet we can come to you and come to your word, find the guidance that is there, look to other godly multitude of counselors and where there's safety. So help us to understand these things. We give you thanks for this food. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.